Hello, everybody. My name is Dave Wilson, and if you can hear the sound of my voice and all this stuff works, we're about to embark upon a journey together that's called Dave Wilson's Part of Radio Liberty. We're going to investigate some things that need investigating. We're going to talk about some things that the national media are not telling you about, and we're going to entertain your calls so that we might hear what you have to say about what's going on in the world around you, or perhaps even more importantly, what's going on in the city or county around you, because that's where all the action is taking place these days, you know, and an awful lot can be done by you to stop this seemingly endless row of people who are willing to take your freedom away and bring in what I call GPS, that's global pantheistic socialism. And I want you to remember, the fact that you have not been informed, your failure to be informed, to do your research, doesn't make me a wacko. Anyway, I also have to warn you that the sounds of this live radio program express my views, not necessarily the views of the station that you're listening to or the people who own that station. Of course, there are our visitors' views as well, and we're going to get to him right away. They could be your views as you give us a call at 888-24-LIBERTY. That's 888-245-4237, or locally here in the Santa Cruz area or the Monterey Bay area, 464-8295. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Pretty serious words from Hosea 4:6 in the New King James Version of the Bible, and a verse that's prominently displayed at the top of the website of our guest, Dr. Michael Kaufman. Michael, are you there?
I am.
Well, it's certainly nice to hear your friendly voice once again, and I want to thank you for taking some time out from your very busy schedule to visit with the folks at Radio Liberty.
Well, thank you. Glad to be with you.
Let's talk a little bit, Michael, before we get into the subject at hand, just exactly what you're doing there at Environmental Perspectives. I want to be sure that everyone gets a pencil and paper out and writes down the URL of your website and understands completely that your passion and your mission in life is to provide information. Isn't that right?
That's correct. In fact, let me just give you a brief background. I know many of the people in the listening audience have heard this before, but you probably have new listeners
right.
All the time. Back in the 1980s, I have a PhD in ecosystems analysis and classification, have been working in that for 30 years as a research scientist as well as teaching in a university for 10 years. And in the 1980s was the head of a multi-million dollar effort, research effort, leading a lot of university research projects on the effects of acid rain and global climate change on our nation's forested ecosystems and other ecosystems as well. And it was there that I began to realize, just as you were talking about a moment ago, that there was this whole pantheistically based idea of sustainable development that was creeping into our regulatory system in the United States. It was a huge agenda that I just could not believe was happening. When the Clean Air Act was reauthorized in 1990, I realized that about $500 million worth of research, taxpayers' money research, had been just thrown down the tube, as it were, the drain, as it were, because that research basically showed that we were not having any major problems with acid rain, the global climate change was a manageable issue, and so forth. Instead, we started out with this whole idea of environmental holocaust that just was not supported by the science whatsoever. And that caused me then to leave my job to start what I'm now the president of Environmental Perspectives, and where we're trying to inform the general public around America of the dangers of the current environmental movement, what they're doing, the false nature of many of the holocausts that they actually present, what are real environmental problems, because we do have them,
mm-hmm.
and what we can do effectively about it.
You know, it's so important that people become informed, because too many people, I fear, are content with either hearing the news, as Rush Limbaugh talks about it, or watching the 5 o'clock news locally or a 5:30 national newscast, and the stories that we're going to talk about today are certainly not presented there. And have you found that since you've been getting the truth out on your website and through your radio talks and traveling all around the world, that there are people who are beginning to understand that there is a giant deception going on?
Yes, there are. In fact, back in the early 1990s, when I first got started on this, you could probably count the number of people that were actively involved in the thousands, perhaps the tens of thousands, but more likely the thousands. And now there are literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people that are becoming aware of the fact that there is something terribly wrong with this nation. It's centered in the concept of environmentalism and government control, and how this is leading us to what the United Nations calls global governance,
mm-hmm.
which is just a euphemism for world government.
Exactly, and that's what we're about here. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to Dr. Stan regularly, or those occasions which I'm privileged to be able to sit in here for him, as I am this week and next, there needs to be some interest on your part, because it doesn't seem that anything is truly happening until you begin to examine things specifically. And that's what you do such a good job at, Michael, on your website, is to break things down and give people links and pick out one subject or another that you can show there's been a tremendous erosion of freedom.
Absolutely, and that is the key, is the realization that through incrementalism, they are gradually destroying the Bill of Rights.
Mm-hmm.
And our ability to have individual freedom and liberty.
The idea of our freedom is taken so for granted in this country by people of the baby boom generation, perhaps, and their children who are now reaching adulthood, let's say, in high school and in college. It's really frightening to me to consider what might happen two or three generations down the line. Now, this movement, could you say, Mike, that this movement has been going on for maybe two generations now, or is it deeper than that?
No, well, it actually goes back well over 100 years, but I think effectively it's been about two generations.
So just like the Bible was taken out of our schools and prayer in the 60s, we've got a generation and another generation who not only don't understand what the Bible is or who wrote it, but also any sense of the morality of the Bible has been taken out of their system. We really can't blame people for not knowing, because their worldview is completely different. We're going to be talking with Dr. Michael Kaufman about our particular worldview as we come back from this first break. And right now, I'd just like to say what a great privilege it is for me to sit in here for Dr. Stan for the next week or so while he's actually taking a vacation. I wish I had a little machine here that would play some applause and wild cheering, because he's in a place that he really enjoys going to. He's with people he loves, and things are going to happen for him. He's going to come back here refreshed and doing just all kinds of great things for you as you listen. You know, there's a way that you can come alongside Dr. Stan, and me too for that matter, and help us get the word out about what's truly going on in our community and in our country and in our world today. And that's simply becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of providers or family of supporters. The idea of you're sending $20 a month or more to Radio Liberty is perhaps something that really isn't going to make a big dent in your budget, but it does take a little effort on your part. But, you know, it's very costly to keep these programs on the air, and I'd like to encourage you to call 1-800-544-8927 and make a pledge of $20 or more a month, and they'll tell you the things that you'll receive as a result of your making that pledge. But I want you to carefully pray that perhaps $20 is not enough, and maybe you'd like to pledge a whole lot more. That number again, once again, to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters is 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be back with Dr. Michael Kaufman in just a minute.
Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
And we're back, talking with Dr. Michael Kaufman, the president of Environmental Perspectives Incorporated, author of a great book, Saviors of the Earth. And he's, of course, a nationally recognized expert in the fields of forestry and ecosystem management, as he just told you, and a frequent guest and friend of Radio Liberty. My name's Dave Wilson, sitting in here for Dr. Stan for a few days, and it's going to be a lot of fun for me. We've got great lineups. But today, perhaps, is going to set the theme for our week, because we are going to be talking at length in this week and even perhaps the next week about what's going on politically in our world today. Now, policies and procedures and laws enacted by governments and non-governmental organizations in the name of diversity and community and earth are frankly, ladies and gentlemen, diminishing individual liberties. They're degrading our ecology, believe it or not, and they're threatening human life and happiness wherever you live. The policies are approaching full implementation in many, many places in this country, and there is no public discourse, and there's practically zero voter input. Now, Michael, that's something I got off a website, freedom21santacruz.net, and we'll be giving that to you later on, ladies and gentlemen, so you can avail yourself of that. But that's really true, isn't it? That statement has said in a nutshell what's going on in the world today.
Absolutely. There's no question about it that we have a situation where this whole concept of sustainable development is nothing more than a tool. And understand this, that it's a tool for these international environmentalists and so forth to be able to actually strip us of our civil rights and install a form of governance in which there are no elected officials that are making the decisions. If you look at all the sustainable programs that were initiated during the term of President Clinton, every single one of them was independent of the elected chain of command by local and state government. Instead, what you had was the direct interface of the federal government with local constituencies, where they were called partnerships or stakeholder councils, you name it, there's a number of different names, but they had one thing in common: they were made up of non-elected officials for the most part. There might have been a few token people there that came from city councils or county commissioners, that sort of thing, but for the most part they were either federal agency representatives, bureaucrats, or they were non-governmental organizations like the Sierra Club, Nature Conservancy, and others that were making up this body called the partnerships or the stakeholder councils that then made a decision as to what the county or the local area was going to look like in 20 or 30 years and then allocated the resources necessary to accomplish that. And if you don't agree, if you happen to be standing right in their way, you get mowed down because there is no elected official that you can go to stop this thing from happening.
There's no recourse for people who've decided to do something with their own wholly owned land and agreeing to the code, so to speak, of building your house. If they don't want you to have a house here or there or wherever you may be, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to make one. We've got a caller already, so I'm going to let Roger come on here in this conversation with us. Hi, Roger from Pennsylvania. Have you got a question or comment?
Yeah, thanks, gentlemen. I have two questions. Normally I wouldn't call so early in the show, but by way of overcoming a couple of objections that strike me as having some relevance, hopefully give you a clear sailing for the rest of this topic. And what I mean is, Dr. Kaufman, the first question, let's say for the sake of argument that man would deliberately set out to do the maximum pollution to destroy the planet. And now it's easy enough to pollute the waterways without spending a gazillion dollars. But aside from that, wouldn't it be rather hard to do any of the pollution that is alleged? I mean, volcanoes, and just one volcanic eruption does 10 years worth of pollution of all the nastiest sort of chemicals, all the nitrous oxide, sulfuric acid, etc. Am I missing the boat here?
No, you're not. In fact, that's a very, very good point. Mount Pinatubo, when it exploded, probably put as much chemicals into the air, chlorine and fluorine and so forth, that are oxidizing our ionosphere and stratosphere ozone layers than we would do in 50 years, just by one event. And so as a consequence, what we're seeing here is that the impact of natural cycles and natural phenomenon on our environment is far, far greater than what we could ever hope to accomplish in any lifetime, really. And realize that, for instance, the amount of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, 96.7% of all greenhouse gases is water vapor. We have no control over water vapor. Only 1.6% is carbon dioxide, and yet they're blaming carbon dioxide for all of this greenhouse effect of global warming, which there is really no evidence of in the first place.
You know, Roger, whenever you call in and bring up those kinds of questions, I hope that people around you are thinking the same way. Are you finding that your circle of friends and so forth are beginning to come and see the light, or are you considered one of those guys who's on the fringe?
Well, unfortunately, it tends to be common circles, but there is no shortage of, and I'm about as dumb as a bag of rocks, but there's no shortage of ignorance even broader than that.
You know, I didn't mean to put you in the spot that way.
No, that's fine.
But, you know, I think we all need to take advantage of the opportunity that we have talking to friends and acquaintances and relatives and so in a winsome kind of way to bring up these things and have the facts behind us, which we all know where they're at, don't we?
Yeah, and if you're reaching only 10 or 20% of the people, that is more than enough. And
yes.
So don't spend too much time at any one person getting them tapes and other material. You know, just don't burn yourself out on a particular individual, whether it's friend or family, etc.
Did you have a second question, Roger?
Yes, I did, if you please.
Now, go ahead.
This at least has a little bit of relevance, I believe. I believe it's possible to spend millions of dollars, even hundreds of millions, and harass relatively small areas with chemtrails, not to be confused with contrails from jets. But my question, isn't it like just about totally impossible without spending those gazillions of dollars again to lay off on tampering with the environment for ostensibly changing weather patterns, which I think people have, even in our circles, have fallen into somewhat of a narrow trap. In other words, either by putting all these barium and aluminum polymers, et cetera, in the air, they may or may not be related to HAARP projects. I think they probably are inflicted on certain small areas. Or then there's a secondary issue about beaming a microwave radiation into the atmospheric layers for the purpose of changing weather. Isn't this all rather too speculative and way too expensive to inflict over large areas? I'll leave it at that, and God bless, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with you at this particular point in time that it's way too expensive to inflict over large areas. I don't think there's any doubt, given the records that are available, that there have been experiments done in this as perhaps a precursor to something that, if they can do it cost-effectively on larger areas, they would. So far, I don't think it's happened. But there is plenty of evidence to suggest that it's in local areas it probably has occurred. I would rather focus my energies, as the caller just kind of suggested, I think, to issues in which we know for a fact are happening and happening on a large scale, like this sustainable development that is stripping us of our civil liberties and so forth. We have all kinds of documentation on that, and in process of doing that, David, let me just give you two web addresses.
Yeah,
that
please.
Has all kinds of actual documentation. I don't mean this is what we think it says. This is the actual United Nations documents, the actual U.S. documents that say this. And that's the way we have been very effective, is the fact that we keep our comments to a minimum and let their own documents speak for themselves, because they are very, very anti-human. They speak for themselves in what they're trying to do in ways that we could never do.
I agree.
And the first one I'm going to give you is our most current site that I have access to, and it's discerningtoday.org. It's discerningtoday.org.
Mm-hmm.
So just like it sounds, discerningtoday, all one word, all lowercase, .org. Now, on that particular site, we are going to have, within probably 2 weeks, a 60-page document that I just finished writing for, and it's called Freedom 21. And it's going to be the antithesis to what the United Nations has done, writing the document called Agenda 21. Agenda 21 being basically a precursor to all the socialist control that they want to impose around the world. It's a 40-chapter document that literally will remake the world into their vision of what it ought to be under socialist command and control type of governance. This document is incredible. We have links to it. You can read it yourself. It is unbelievable what it talks about. It talks about not only environmental controls, but social controls, rights of women, rights of children, and so forth. It's right down the line. And the Freedom 21 document that I have just completed, is still in rough draft format right now, is showing how that their critical decision-making process is an error. We're not having these tragedies. We do not need this kind of command and control. Now, we don't have that up on the website yet, so don't go looking for it. But within a couple weeks, it should be there. The other website that I want to draw you to is sovereignty.net. That's www.sovereignty.net. That is the 501c3 organization that I'm president of, and actually will have even more links into UN documents and U.S. documents that show what they're trying to do in any one particular given area. Now, the one that you mentioned, Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, is an offshoot of our Freedom 21 effort, and it is found on Freedom 21 Santa Cruz, all one word, .net, Freedom21SantaCruz.net. And look at that. That shows you exactly what's going on in Santa Cruz, has been over the last 20 years, and what they are planning on doing, how they're planning on doing it, because it is the blueprint for what we are going to be facing in the future.
A lot of people don't realize that Santa Cruz has got their own Agenda 21, and everybody who has access to the Internet really ought to go to these websites. We're going to give them again as soon as we get back from the break. And Chris, you hold on out there in Kentucky. We'll get to you when we come back after the bottom of the hour. But I'd like to remind you that once again, to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, all you have to do is call 800-544-8927 and pledge that amount of support. Now, we're going to send you Dr. Stan's insightful newsletter if you decide to do that, and the four very best programs of the month. So what more could you ask for? Four cassette tapes of the four very best hours of broadcasting during the month, and perhaps even most importantly, Dr. Stan's newsletter. Why don't you do it? As a favor to me, as a favor to yourself, knowing that you'll be standing shoulder to shoulder with Dr. Stan and all the other folks who have become members of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. The number is 1-800-544-8927.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who are actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
And the bottom of the hour is upon us, and my name is Dave Wilson. With me on the phone from Maine is Dr. Michael Kaufman. and we're talking about what's going on in the world today, what you can do about it, perhaps most importantly. We've got Chris on the line. We're going to get you some airtime here in just a second, but I want to repeat those websites that Dr. Kaufman just gave us. First of all, sovereignty.net, and then discerningtoday.org, and, of course, freedom21santacruz.net. If you're a webmaster or something like that, whatever that means, or you're interested in writing some things like that for your community, you might want to look at freedom21santacruz.net to see how well it's done. And maybe ask some people around your community if we shouldn't get started talking at least about the issues that are brought up on that great website. So let's talk to Chris from Kentucky. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Hi, Dave. How you doing?
Fine. Thanks for waiting. Sorry I couldn't get to you, but what's your question or comment?
This is great because I left the Republican Party because we have an authoritarian government that's getting way too out of hand. It's getting too big and too oppressive. It's starting in the government schools. You bring up the United Nations. The United Nations has been grabbing our public parks, the Grand Canyon, Yellowstone, and all those other parks across the country are not privatized. It's going under total tyranny. We've got to stand against the UN because the UN also, I thank God for Alex Jones for making a tape called America Destroyed by Design, used to take high school and grade school students into UN meetings and saying how great they are and how they bring peace to the world, but they're conditioning to them to total tyranny and socialism.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
You're absolutely right, and I guess I have to confess, since this is a good thing to do for unburdening the soul, that as a high school senior in 1955, I went to San Francisco and watched the 10th anniversary of the UN and thought it was really, really something. Now, I'm dating myself, okay, guys? But nevertheless, that's one of the things that I'll never forget, that I was right there when they were talking about all this stuff, and little did I know what it would grow into because I was totally naive about the things going on.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, we don't have any property rights anymore. Nobody owns property, because if you don't pay the property tax, you're going to have the IRS at your door.
You got that right. Your property is not your own. It's only as long as you pay off the government to allow you to have it. Thanks, Chris. I appreciate your calling.
You're basically renting it, right, Chris?
Right.
Yeah.
You got it. You're just leasing it from the government.
You're just leasing it from the government. You know, that's called usufruct. That's the usufruct concept of property rights. And it was very interesting, Chris, that it was that term that all of a sudden triggered me back in 1994 when we were going through for the very first time. We had a rough draft of it on September 29th of 94, the day before the Convention on Biological Diversity was to be ratified in the U.S. Senate. And we were going through this Chapter 10 of the United Nations Global Biodiversity Assessment, and I came across this concept as usufruct property rights, and it really stopped me cold. I had no idea what it was.
How do you spell that?
Usufruct.
The German term, I guess, huh?
Well, no, actually, I believe it's probably Latin, because it started in the old Roman Empire, and it means the Caesar owns everything. And he leases it out or gives some way of giving it to the chosen people to use in certain ways, but they have to pay him.
That's a fascinating concept.
He has final say, basically, over what's done on that land.
We sure see it here anyway. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. And I just want to thank Joe Bannister for leaving the agency. He's really knowledgeable what's going on.
Okay.
Thank you.
Things are getting active out on your end of the country because I know you're probably packing and getting ready and getting everything together to go to a conference that's coming up that certainly hasn't been talked much about in the news. Tell us a little bit about what's happening next, what is it? Well, the end of this month, I guess.
On August 26th, I'm leaving on the 22nd flying to Johannesburg, South Africa, to attend the World Summit on Sustainable Development, and it is going to be a humdinger. You're probably not going to hear too much of it. I mean, you're going to hear some things on the news and so forth, but it'll be pretty much potboiler.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the World Summit on Sustainable Development is really the third Earth Summit that has been held in the world since 1972. The first one was in Stockholm in 1972. The second one was in 1992 in Rio de Janeiro. If you're old enough, you probably remember that one. And then finally, the World Summit on Sustainable Development that is going to be starting on the 26th, going through the September 4th. Let me give you some background of that. In fact, as I do that, if you go to our website, discerningtoday.org, and then click on the International Meetings, you'll find that there are three major United Nations meetings that occurred this year. The first was Earth Dialogues that happened in Lyons, France on February 21st through the 23rd. The second one was in March 18th through the 20th, held in Monterrey, Mexico. That's the International Conference on Financing for Development. Both of those meetings were leading towards the fulfillment of this meeting and the World Summit on Sustainable Development to be held this month in early September. This meeting is, I believe, and most of the people that have studied these kinds of things believe that it's the pivotal meeting that the United Nations has been working towards for the last 30 to 40 years. This is going to put the final capstone on all the concepts of global governance for environmental control. You're going to see, we believe, a whole host of things introduced besides, of course, global taxing to pay for all of this, just like it was done in the Monterrey conference. We're going to see an effort to create a overarching EPA, our Environmental Protection Agency, on the global level, out of what is known as the Trusteeship Council of the United Nations. Now, let me give you an example or share with you a little bit more. Some of you know what this is because you've heard me talk about it before. But since 1995, the United Nations has been promoting very heavily transforming the Trusteeship Council, the United Nations Trusteeship Council, from its historic and charter requirements, basically to decolonize the world. The world has been decolonized now, basically. There is no job for it to do anymore, and they want to transfer its intent and its purpose to be the environmental supercop of the world. And what they're trying to do is basically, again, you can find all this on our internet site at either discerningtoday or sovereignty.net. You can find the documentation to support this. What they're looking for is the creation of this Trusteeship Council to oversee the global commons of the world. Now, in doing that, they're going to staff this new organization with what they call non-governmental organizations. These are groups like the Sierra Club. They're groups like the Nature Conservancy, National Wildlife Federation. All of these are non-governmental organizations. Some of your socialist organizations would also qualify. That way, they would be made up of those who have the vision to see what the world should look like and begin to impose rules and regulations through the interlocking net of treaties that we have been signing very casually over the last 10 years, with the exception of the Convention on Biological Diversity, which I had a personal hand in stopping from ratification. These interlocking treaties literally will define what you can and cannot do. Almost, and if they wanted to, down to the breath that you take on a moment-by-moment basis. It is the most incredible thing I have ever seen, because you have various treaties that don't seem like they're all that difficult or bad in their own right, but when you put them together, you find out all of a sudden that you don't have any rights left. Literally none. And what they're trying to do is basically control everything that you and I do, and plan the world the way they think it ought to be planned.
It's always scary to me when you say something like that, plan the world the way they want it to be done. There's a whole myriad of people who've decided to get together and try to figure out who they are. You know, from the last 100 years or so, we have a particular idea here, and I suspect you share much of the same ideas that Dr. Stan does about who they are, but this idea of implementing pantheistic socialism, which is going to be the outcome, is really a scary thing, because, ladies and gentlemen, you're not having any kind of vote in this, and I don't know whether you've ever traveled abroad, but for you to appreciate what you have here in these United States of America, it's almost necessary for you to go someplace else. And I don't mean Canada, I don't mean Tijuana. I mean, go to someplace like Israel, where I've been many times, and find that in that small democracy there, even the freedoms that we take for granted here are not representative there. Then if you go to someplace like in the Samaria or Judea, where the Palestinian control is, you have absolutely no freedom. And that's a very strange feeling. Dr. Crawford, don't you think that people here take our freedom way too much for granted? We've never seen anything without it. And so how can we get people to understand that the freedoms are being eroded?
Well, let me give you this example. I fly around the country, several times a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like too darn much anyway. And have a chance once in a while to talk to somebody who's sitting next to me, and we get to talking about what I do, and I explain them just like I explained it to you. And they kind of look at me like I'm from planet Mars, and they say, well, that could never happen in the United States.
Yes.
You know, and I was hearing that from a number of standpoints, environmental as well as political. And 3 years ago, 4 years ago now, I began to talk about the fact that we're going to experience a major terrorist attack on the United States. I mean, a major one. And, of course, the response was the same. It can't happen in the United States. Well, folks, it did on September 11th. Just as we had forecast, it was going to be blamed on Osama bin Laden. He would more than likely have something to do with it, but he would not be the master manipulator behind it. And it is becoming more and more apparent as we go through time that he has not been the master manipulator, even though he had his fingerprints all over it.
Certainly the poster boy for it.
Certainly the poster boy, no question about it. Now people are not saying that so much anymore. They're beginning to realize that we're not invulnerable to all of these kinds of things. And I would extend that to what we're talking about, to our individual freedoms as well. People say it can't happen in the United States, and folks, it's happening right before our eyes. You can't imagine the tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of Americans that are literally being stripped of their private property, paying taxes on it, but cannot use it for anything that they want to use it for. They are totally under the thumb of a governmental official in some way or another because of the increasing encroachment of socialism. And socialism basically is a plan in which property rights are controlled.
Mm-hmm.
That's the very definition of socialism. Look it up in the dictionary. And if you do not have private property rights where you can grow crops or conduct business without government interference, then you have no real guarantee of freedom from the abuse of government, because if government controls property rights, then it controls where you live, how you live, and in fact, what you can do in your life process, even if you have food, because that's all dealing with property rights. That was the biggest mechanism of control by the Soviet Union over its people, was the fact that they had absolutely no private property rights, and they were totally at the mercy of their local political who decided whether or not they could live in one of the publicly provided apartments, whether they can go to the grocery store and buy the limited amount of food that was available, all right down the line. All that had to do with private property rights, and that's what socialism is designed to take away from you and I.
And we're going to be talking more about that with Dr. Michael Kaufman when we come back. Those websites, once again, www.sovereignty.net. and discerningtoday.org, and the local one right here in Santa Cruz, freedom21santacruz.net, all one word. Look those up. While you're thinking about that, give some thought to perhaps even changing your long-distance carrier over to someone who's pledged to give a percentage of your long-distance charges to this ministry right here, to Radio Liberty. I switched over, and I'm very pleased with the service that I have. I'm talking about Promise Vision, of course, and the number is 866-448-5631. And when you dial that number, you'll be talking to a representative who will, in fact, change your carrier over from one of those nationally recognized ones that support Planned Parenthood and the Lord only knows what else. But if you want a Christian-based organization that is devoted to seeing that ministries such as Radio Liberty get a little share of the pie, call Promise Vision at 866-448-5631 and simply say, I'd like to switch my long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision, and I'd like Radio Liberty to be the recipient of a percentage of the long-distance charges that I have. Once again, that number is 866-448-5631. I've done it, and I've enjoyed the service. I recommend it very highly. Now remember, if you want to become a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters, call 1-800-544-8927. We'll be back for our last quarter hour in just a minute.
Well, if there's any one tape that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics, an untold story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics.
These hours go mighty fast, Michael, when we're talking about important things that need to be talked about. And I want to talk just a little bit more about your upcoming trip to the Johannesburg Summit 2002. And of course, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have internet, you can simply dial in johannesburgsummit.org and see all of the stuff that's going on there. I did that this afternoon and was not appalled, but I was certainly amazed at the scope of the subject that, you know, all that's going on. Michael, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? What's going to be the outcome of this meeting that they're having there? Are they going to come up with treaties that are going to be demanding that we sign, like we were demanded to sign the Kyoto thing?
Right. One of the premier treaties. There's going to be two things that are happening there. First, we're not positive of, but we're pretty sure that the Earth Charter, you know, this religious doctrine that everybody in the world must conform to of being sustainable, is based in pantheism, steeped in pantheism, and that will be, it's going around in the arc of whatever it is around the world right now, and it's going to be delivered, we believe, to Johannesburg, accepted by the United Nations at Johannesburg. The second one is this Companion, which is a brand new treaty. Actually, it was written in 1994 by an organization called the IUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature. You've heard me talk about this particular organization many times. It is the one that wrote the Convention on Biological Diversity and the Convention on Climate Change and a host of others that are now either international law or are looking to be international law. And it has a brand new treaty. You can find it on their website at IUCN.org. And it is what's called the Covenant on Development and the Environment, or the Environment and Development. I think it's the Environment and Development. It is a huge treaty that literally puts teeth to the Earth Charter, to the Climate Change Convention, to the Biodiversity Convention, to all of these other treaties, coordinates them all and puts the force of law behind them so that you literally will not have the ability to make any decisions by yourself without getting approval first from the United Nations or its representative. It is the most comprehensive treaty I have seen to control people, everything about what people do.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed any time during our conversation today whether you've heard us say this is going to be put on the ballot, we're going to be addressing these issues in open forum, and then in November we're going to be voting on it? I don't think you heard that too much, did you? You've got to realize that people are implementing these things which are going to directly affect your life, and perhaps most importantly, and I think you'll agree with me, Michael, the lives of our children and grandchildren.
Oh, absolutely. For generations to come. Once we have this in place, it's going to take dozens of generations to break this bondage around us. It is the most comprehensive plan I have ever seen, and it will be almost impossible to break. And the only hope that we have is to prevent it from ever occurring. And that the biggest shot we're going to have is when the United Nations comes up for presenting a new United Nations Charter, and that's going to be within the next year or two. It has to be within the next year or two. I've been predicting this for 2 years now, but it's got to be in the next year or two if they're going to do what they want, because most of what they want to do is not legal under the existing United Nations Charter. Now, when it comes out, they are going to paint it a very rosy thing, like it's the best thing that ever happened since apple pie. But you realize, if you look between the lines, what you're going to find is that all power now resides in the United Nations. none in the sovereign boundaries of the United States, and certainly none within the citizens of the United States or citizens of the world.
I have a sticker on my truck that says, get us out of the United Nations. Is that a realistic approach to take, or should we stay in there and just continue to make waves?
I think if we were to pull out right now, you know, there's debate over that, Dave, as to whether or not we can even do pull out and be effective. I think we can, because if we were to pull out of the United Nations within the next, say, 6 months or so, and pull our financial support, it would collapse like a house of cards.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If it can find some way of funding itself for a while until it gets this world tax in place, then once that happens, we're cooked. We might as well stay in it because we the only hope is to try to influence it. But as long as we're basically paying for its existence, if we were to pull out, it would collapse, and that's what I'm hoping will happen, especially when the United Nations attempts to put in a new United Nations charter.
There's so many people that talk so glowingly, if you will, about all the good that's done at the United Nations. And to my way of thinking, they've not really done anything good except perhaps line their own pockets and make one of the largest bureaucracies on the face of the earth.
Absolutely. In fact, if anything, you can make a very strong case for saying that the United Nations has probably killed, and I'm being very serious about here, I'm not being flippant, but it's probably killed far more people than it has ever saved through its peace ventures. It is structured in a way that almost guarantees friction and war. Almost every place where it has ever gone to try to bring peace instead has brought carnage.
Africa is a place where a lot of these meetings and a lot of what's going on seems to be happening. What's your perspective on why Johannesburg has been selected as opposed to some northern European city or something like that? Where, and I've never been to Johannesburg, so I don't know whether they have ability to accommodate the kinds of people they're going to have there. What's going on with that?
Well, they will usually have these meetings in different parts of the world. You know, in 1997 they had the Kyoto meeting in Japan for the new global warming treaty that they now call the Kyoto Protocol. They've had them in different parts of the world at different times, so this is really nothing new. In fact, I would say that they probably have planned this, if I remember, back 4 or 5 years ago that it was going to be in Johannesburg. So I don't know if it's necessarily related to anything that is currently ongoing in a political agenda,
mm-hmm.
other than the fact that they want to make sure that all the various regions of the world are represented in their meetings.
Well, all the countries, or a lot of the countries, I can't say an inclusive all, are very, very socialist in Africa.
Oh, absolutely. That is one point. That's a very good point. I was just thinking of that as you were starting to talk, is the fact that they almost inevitably will pick a nation that is very socialistic.
And a lot of people perhaps don't think that the continent of Africa has migrated so far away from the colonial ties that they may have had with northern Europeans, which is not a good thing, but it wasn't all that bad in some respects. There, when a lot of these leaders come in, we don't hear about the atrocities that take place on their rise to power. We've got Jeannie on the line from locally here. Hi, Jeannie. I think it's going to be nice to hear your voice.
Hi, Dave. Nice to have you on the radio again.
Thank you.
And I'm just looking through this International Covenant on the Environment and Development, and even on the IUCN website, they say that we need fundamental principles like a code of conduct, and this
yeah.
is the actual words.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's, of course, what the Earth Charter is.
Right. And they even say, as used in many socialist traditions.
Uh-huh.
So here they're saying it is a socialist document. And one other thing, Dr. Kaufman, is on the preamble, it says it is the essential duty of all to respect and preserve the environment. And they're going to guide us with ethical guidance. Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable, isn't it?
Yeah.
It would be shocking. In fact, it is shocking when you really understand the implications, because what they're talking about is literally recreating the world in a socialist mentality, almost communist mentality, mm-hmm. where the only property rights are those property rights in name only. They basically control what goes on the land.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to tell us what's good and bad and
yep.
What our moral duty is and obligation in the community. So thanks for your show, Dave.
Thank you, Jeannie, for calling in. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is quite clear It has spelled out clearly, and to anybody who'd care to read it, it says that in these days we should be not very excited, or perhaps not very surprised would be a better word, as to what's going on in our world. Michael, don't you think that many of these things are falling into place consistent with God's Word?
Oh, absolutely. There's no question about it that we're seeing almost all of the major end-time prophecies in the process of being fulfilled as we are looking at them right now.
I'm certainly... go ahead.
I used to publish a newsletter up until 9/11 when all of a sudden our income stream dried up from that source, on tracing what's happening where and how that is related to biblical prophecy.
People probably would like to support your ministry as well. Is there a way that they can do that, perhaps going to the website, or is there an 800 number you have?
DiscerningToday.org, and there's a number of ways you can make a direct contribution to what we're trying to do, but also if you buy some of our products, and some of these products are very good to share with friends and neighbors and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're running a special this summer. You can buy any one of our videos, and I highly recommend the Final Countdown to World Government or the Final Steps to World Government. Either one of those, there's a lot of overlap, so don't get both. But either one of those are excellent videos to watch and to learn exactly what's going on. And if you do that, you will get a free, either our brand new book called Birth of World Government, or if you want to, you can get a map. Showing that of all the Convention on Biological Diversity and the Wildlands Project, how we stopped that on the U.S. Senate floor back in 1994. It is in full color and is mind-blowing in its implications.
It is
and
indeed.
And a lot of people, it's very good. It's for free if you buy any one of our videos.
And that website, again, is discerningtoday.org. Is there an 800 number?
Our 800 1-800-799-9878. That's 1-800-799-9878. Now, we've gone from 24-7 back to an 8:30 to 5:30 Eastern time schedule on that. We just had to do that because of limited income.
Certainly.
And so call tomorrow anytime during 8:30 to 5:30 Eastern time, and you can order, find out more information and so forth of any of our products.
I appreciate your being on the program with me. The hour's gone by. We didn't talk as much about Johannesburg as we might have. However, I suspect when you come back, as the Lord tarries in the middle of September, Dr. Stan will have you on the program and we can
get involved. Well, not only
that,
we're working right now to try to get Stan, so that I call in from Johannesburg.
Perfect.
Right in the middle of a meeting and keep the people informed. So.
Absolutely. God bless you, Michael. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay.
Good night now.
Good night.
You know, it's so wonderful to be able to put programs on like this when we have Dr. Michael Kaufman and others. This week, we're going to be having Dave Russell and Paul Walter and Jay Wally on. We're going to be talking about property rights and all that kind of stuff that's going on. Tomorrow, Dr. David Hocking, and we're going to be talking about what's really going on in Israel. You've heard some of it before, but I guarantee you we're going to have a brand new perspective on it. Until that time, give serious consideration to calling 1-800-544-8927, becoming a member of the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Until then, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yes, I was. And I am. You know anybody who needs to fly with me? We'll see you tomorrow, or is this your only day?
No, I'll be back on Wednesday, Thursday.
Oh, right. Well, I'm looking forward to it. If you want to, you can tell your parents that I'll give you a ride down the hill or whatever. So, you know, I don't know where you live, but we can work something out.
Yeah.
May I make a local phone?